Beginning in May, the Adirondack Mountain Reserve and State Department of Environmental Conservation will resume a parking reservation system in the Route 73 corridor of the Adirondack Park that has been in operation since the 2021 hiking season. To discuss the continuation of this program and the issue of safely accessing the busier sections of the Adirondack Park, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Interim DEC Commissioner Sean Mahar. Welcome back to the show, Commissioner.
Thanks for having us.
And we're also going to hear from Katie Petronas, Deputy Commissioner of Natural Resources at the DEC. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Thanks so much for having us.
So for listeners who aren't maybe familiar with the AMR property and I guess the parking lot that will require reservations from May 1st through October 31st, what should they know about this site? In particular, what should they know which has really contributed to it to being such a popular destination?
The AMR parking lot is set on the Adirondack Mountain Reserve, which is a 7,000-acre property that's owned by the Ausable Club. And it has a number of really important trailheads that access some really popular routes in the high peaks and some very popular peaks. And over the years, it has become increasingly more popular. DEC acquired a conservation easement on the Adirondack Mountain Reserve lands back in 1978 because we recognized how important access to that area was to New Yorkers. That easement allows the property to be maintained privately, but still to allow the public access over the trails on the property. So, as I said, over the years, it's become more and more popular. More and more people are coming up to the high peaks. More and more people are coming to the Adirondacks. They're exploring. They're hiking. It's fantastic. But with that has come a lot more parking issues. To access AMR, you run down Route 73 in the Adirondacks off of 87. Route 73 is a pretty narrow corridor just outside the town of Keene. And when you get down to that one access point, you kind of go down a steep hill. Like I said, it's really narrow. And in order to turn in, it's a pretty sharp turn on a downhill narrow road. As it's become more popular, we've had more and more people parking along the side illegally of the road. And that was presenting a pretty significant public safety concern. So we, back in 2020, really started envisioning this program as a way to manage that public safety and access issue and still allow an opportunity for everybody who wanted to be able to get into the trails, the trailheads, the peaks, and visit the site.
And under this parking system, what is the responsibility of a person who wants to take advantage of this destination?
So it was really important to us that anybody who wanted to access the site was still going to be able to. And so one thing that was really important was that when we developed this reservation system, we wanted to make sure it would be free. So it is. So the first and most important thing is that nobody who wants to access the site is going to have to pay for a reservation to park and to hike. The second thing is that we wanted to make sure that, again, everybody had an opportunity to access. So even if you don't have a car, there's a way to access the site. You don't need to have a car and park it in order to make a reservation. So if you want to be dropped off, if you want to arrive by bus, if you want a bike, you can still do that. You just have to make a reservation unless you're arriving by bus. So if you have a Greyhound bus ticket, you can come in without a reservation. You just have to show the ticket.
And just to interrupt, is there a Greyhound like bus stop like at AMR, or are people getting off and then walking there somehow?
There's not one right at AMR. So bus travel is not really easy to the site. It wasn't before the reservation system. It isn't now. People come in off of the Northway and they can get dropped off at a bus stop. They then have to get to the site from the town of Keene. So you can either walk in, or I suppose you could get a taxi, an Uber, something that you can use to get dropped off. It's not the easiest. We have had a few people do it, so it hasn't been unused. But for everybody else, you need a reservation, and anybody can make one. There are 70 spots.
Yeah, and Dave, one of the key things too is also be prepared and be prepared for your hike. And that's one of the things that we always try and, you know, espouse with our Hike Safe, Hike Smart initiative overall. We want to make sure that people are still prepared to go into the backcountry, because this is the backcountry up there, and we need to make sure that they're not wearing sandals and flip-flops, but actually wearing the appropriate gear and remembering that they are in this wilderness area.
And for people who are prepared, I have to imagine this has been a nice benefit for exploring the region, because if you know when you want to go in and you know where you're going to hike, this means you know you're going to have a parking spot waiting for you. You don't have to be up at maybe the crack of dawn if you want to go hike. For those other people, though, who are maybe flying by the seat of their pants, what has been done to ensure, one, that they're aware that there is a reservation system, and two, is there any sort of flexibility if someone shows up at this place without a reservation?
Yeah. So two things. One, you're absolutely right. We've heard from a lot of people that it's been a fantastic experience for them to be able to plan in advance for a trip and to know that they're going to have a spot. Most of the parking lots in the High Peaks are first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. And as you know, in the summer, those spots fill up fast and people are leaving, especially folks who don't live in the High Peaks region and are traveling long distances, are leaving their houses at 2 o'clock in the morning to hope to get one of those spots to be able to hike for the day. And it's a real bummer if they get there and they can't. So I've used it myself and I have a small child, and it's been fantastic to know that if I'm going to get up and hike, I can get up at a reasonable hour. I can take my family. I'm not going to show up and have a really upset 8-year-old if we arrive at a trailhead and can't actually hike there. So it's been really great for that. And we've heard that from a lot of folks. There are a lot of people who want to plan short term, who don't want to plan long in advance. And so we've been trying to manage the need for maintaining that public safety and control over that roadway with allowing people some flexibility. So right now, you can make a reservation up to 12 hours in advance. So as soon as 12 hours before the trip, you can make a reservation. When we first started the system, it was actually further out than that. And we did hear from people that they wanted to do last minute trip planning. So we bumped it up to 12 hours, which was the closest we could get without really sort of doing same day, which is problematic because if everybody thinks that they can make a same day reservation, then they're not going to be inclined to make reservations. And then there's more likely to be congestion on the road and create the problem we were trying to avoid. So right now, up to 12 hours in advance, you can make that reservation. Most people we find are waiting to know the weather if they want to plan sort of last minute trips. And within 12 hours now, you can know what kind of weather you're going to have the next day. So we found that for most people, that 12-hour advance notice works for them.
Well, sticking with the idea of addressing congestion, is there any exploration of running some sort of shuttle service to the parking lot?
We had talked about it, and we do have some shuttles that we've been operating for the past few seasons on a pilot basis to access a number of trails in that region. What we found is that this is working pretty well. You know, we expanded that lot. The lot that had been there was about 20 cars. It's now 70 cars, and we expanded it to meet the need that we saw having at the site. So what we found is that people are able to access the site, and we've been focusing the shuttles on other sites that have other parking area congestion issues. Last season, we actually repurposed one of the shuttles as a roving hiker information station. We had heard that there was a strong interest in front country education, and particularly on busy weekends in the summer, there were a lot of people who were showing up and wondering where they can be hiking, looking for information about leave no trace principles and best hiking practices. And so we repurposed a shuttle to deploy it to show up at those really popular spots and provide information on an as-needed basis. And that was really popular. And it worked really well for us as well. We provided a lot of education to the public.
Was there anything that you've learned from the first 3 years of this parking program that you think could be applied to other parking lots in the Adirondacks?
So this is a really unique program that was developed to solve a unique set of problems and circumstances based on the location. So I really don't see this program being applicable elsewhere in the park. We were trying to manage a very particular set of challenges along Route 73, and we think that the program's working really well to do that. Some of the things that we've learned and that we're continuing to learn that we think may be applicable elsewhere, you know, we're using it as an opportunity to learn a lot about visitor management and the types of visitors who are coming here, what they're telling us about the way the system works, and what the ecological impacts are based on visitation. So we're working with a couple of different partners, SUNY ESF being one of them. We had a researcher deployed at the site who then conducted research and interviews on people who are visiting to learn about their experience distance, not only with the reservation system, but also just hiking in the high peaks. And that's given us some pretty valuable information. We're doing another set of research with ESF right now as well to learn a little bit. It's called the Ecological Scorecard Study, and it's giving us more information about ecological impacts and visitation. And then we have a very large study going on conducting visitor use management research in the high peaks and in the Catskills actually as well. And we're learning a lot about visitor management and planning through those studies. So we think those will tell us a lot about managing visitation into the future. But I imagine that this system will work really well just in this location.
So if the AMR parking experience is not really applicable elsewhere, I am curious about other ideas that you are exploring for the parking lots at other trailheads, the ones that are particularly crowded. For example, is something like just lining out spots something that you might do? And if not, what are the drawbacks of something like that?
There are some sites that we have done that. You know, depending on the roadbed, that's sometimes a challenge. We have done a lot in those sort of high visitation areas with Front Country Stewardship, again, to just help people have somebody on site to help manage the visitation, help people understand not just the parking issues, but also the general best practices when it comes to hiking and showing up at a trailhead. So we've been doing a lot of that. In the summer, especially, our ranger team is really active at those Front Country locations. So they're there, not as parking attendants, certainly, but to help people understand what they should be doing in those parking areas.
Yeah, I think, Dave, it's important. Like, we're trying to adaptively manage our work in the park overall. So as we see hot spots of areas where we have increased visitation that's butting up against our natural resource protection obligations, that's where we get creative and explore different options that Katie's talking about here. And that's really just, you know, the type of pride that we bring to our work to oversee and manage the Adirondack Park and make sure that it's open and accessible for everyone, but also balanced with the natural resource protection obligations that we have.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Katie Petronas. She's Deputy Commissioner of Natural Resources at the DEC. Thanks for visiting us, Katie.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we've also been hearing from DEC Interim Commissioner Sean Mahar. Thanks for visiting us, Commissioner.
Thank you, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.